This is Audible.
Audible Inc. and Harlequin present A Perfect Match by Emily Rose. Read by Cecilia Frontero. Chapter 1. No man should be forced to endure a baby shower. Tate Sumner fingered the irregularly shaped piece of cardboard in his pocket. He'd been ordered to mingle until he found the guest whose puzzle piece linked with his, and then they were supposed to mimic the way the pieces fit together with their bodies. Leave it to his matchmaking sister Sandy to turn her baby shower, traditionally a females-only affair, into a dating service. Ha ha. Hilarious. Not. At 34, he sometimes felt out of sync. Too young for marriage and all it entailed, but too old for singles games. In the last hour, he'd worked his way through the crowd without a match and without enthusiasm, although he had to admit there'd been a few amusing tussles as the mostly single 20-something guests linked up. No doubt the free-flowing alcoholic beverages had loosened their inhibitions. He didn't overindulge anymore. The hell-raising and skirt-chasing days he'd once enjoyed had come to an abrupt end after a building collapse landed him in the hospital last year, making him realize how short life was. Before that life-changing event, he'd have let one of the blonde twins beside him convince him to go home with her tonight. He subtly checked his watch and then shot another glance at the front door. No offense to Tia or Leah, but he'd rather catch the second half of the Braves game. The doorbell rang. His sister unearthed herself from a pile of torn pastel wrapping paper and waddled to answer as fast as her do-any-day-now pregnant belly would allow. And then she screamed and launched herself at the poor victim on her welcome mat. With his luck, the newcomer would be his match, and he'd be making a human puzzle piece out of himself soon, not an anticipated event. His sister dragged the visitor into view, and Tate nearly dropped the glass of spiked lemonade someone had forced into his hand. Faith King. He hadn't seen her since his youngest sister Sandy had married Faith's brother David 2 years ago. Faith's strawberry blonde hair hung in a smooth, glossy curtain curling just below her jawline. He missed the tangles he'd created during their passionate night after the rehearsal dinner. Desire kicked him in the gut. They'd torched the sheets that night, so he hadn't understood the deep freeze Faith had treated him to the next day at the wedding and reception. Sure, he'd expected a little morning-after awkwardness, since they'd fallen into bed without the usual get-to-know-you dance. But he'd hoped they'd fill in the gaps during the remainder of the weekend. It hadn't happened. Faith had avoided him as if he'd exposed her to something contagious. And then, in a fit of wounded pride, he'd had a pint too much champagne at the reception, danced with every female present, and shot off his mouth with a lousy toast. Yeah, he'd been a real prize. A prize idiot. "I'm sorry I'm late." Faith dragged her rolling suitcase over the threshold. "The storm delayed my flight. I didn't even stop by the hotel. I had the taxi bring me straight here." Her slightly husky and somewhat breathless voice sucked Tate right back to their middle-of-the-night tussles. They'd christened his sofa, his bed, and even his kitchen counter. For years, he'd craved the carefree bachelor life he'd been denied while helping to raise his younger sisters. But in the days preceding Sandy's wedding, Faith had made him want more than one wild weekend. She'd tempted him to forget the promise he'd made to himself, to savor the freedom that came with getting his last sister out of the house, and finally being responsible for only himself. "You have men at your baby shower." Faith scanned the gathering with a frown, and then she spotted him and his wannabe companions. His heart kicked irregularly as her shock-widened blue eyes inspected him from cowlick to boots. Her lush lips compressed, and her gaze hit his with the same arctic blast he remembered from their final encounter. After seeing off the bride and groom that day, he'd asked Faith for her number. She'd slammed the car door in his face. Her glare tonight indicated they wouldn't be sharing a fond reunion. The knowledge slid down his spine like a hot cinder. His sister Sandy wiggled her fingers, motioning Tate forward. He excused himself from the twins and joined his sister. "You remember David's sister, Faith, don't you?" Oh, yeah. Every luscious curve of her. He had no trouble recalling Faith's scent, the silkiness of her skin, her gasps of passion, or the hot, wet clench of her body. She wanted to be here for her niece's arrival. Sandy's words dragged him back to the present. He locked gazes with the woman who starred in his dreams far too often. Faith? Tate. Her tone could give a man frostbite, but the blush tinting her cheeks confirmed she hadn't forgotten what had happened between them either. Faith is checking into the Hilltop Inn for a few days. Next week she's closing on a brand new house here in Chapel Hill. Sandy nudged him. Put her suitcase in my room for now, would you, Tate? And get her a drink, please. His heart pumped harder. Faith would be living minutes away in town instead of 8 hours away in Atlanta. He offered her his glass. Here, take mine. I haven't touched it, but watch out for the kick. My twisted sister enjoys watching her guests get sloshed while she stays sober. Faith extended her hand. Their fingers brushed as she took the drink, and current flowed from her fingers to his. Her eyes widened, but quickly filled with wariness. Thank you. His sister took Faith's umbrella and propped it against the wall. Do you have your puzzle piece? Faith blinked and averted her gaze. Yes, it's in my purse. Dig it out. Introduce yourself to everyone until you find your match. Tate can explain the rules of the game. I need to sit down. Sandy winced, pressed a hand to her lower back, and waddled slowly back to her chair, leaving Tate with Faith in the foyer. How are you? He asked. Faith looked incredible, still curvy in all the right places. She dug in her leather purse and withdrew the puzzle piece. Tate rocked back on his heels. Interesting. It didn't take a fireman who spent too many hours of downtime at the station assembling puzzles to see that Faith's piece was counterpart to the one in his pocket. His impatience with the stupid party game evaporated, and his blood hummed in anticipation of fitting his body to hers. Coincidence? Or was his sister matchmaking? I'm well. Good to see you again, Tate. Excuse me, I need to mingle with the other guests and find my match. Don't let me keep you from your friends. She delivered the words in a polite but chilly brush-off. He produced his piece of the puzzle and aligned it with hers. No need. I'm your man.
Match!
Shrieked Sandy from the living room, confirming Tate's matchmaking theory. God bless little sisters. He took back every negative thing he'd ever said about the baby of the family. Know what that means, Faith? He took the tumbler out of her hand and set it on the credenza. She shifted on her feet and bit her luscious bottom lip. No. It means we get to simulate the interlocking puzzle pieces with our bodies. Damn, he couldn't wait. He barely restrained himself from rubbing his hands in glee. Scowling, she looked at her piece. It had the jutting male projection, whereas his had the indented female shape. The pieces fit together perfectly, just as he and Faith had that night. A moment passed, and then Faith lifted her hands to his shoulders. He cupped her waist, and his heart thumped in expectation of her tongue in his mouth. But then she swiftly lifted her knee toward his groin. He sucked in a swift breath and tensed in anticipation of pain. She stopped just short of her target. Need I continue? Chapter 2 Faith King watched the gleam in Tate, the snake's, green eyes turn from seductive to cautious. She ignored the strength and heat of the thick shoulder muscles beneath her hands, lowered her knee, and stepped out of reach before the urge to tangle her fingers in his short dark hair and seal her lips to his won out over common sense. A muscle ticked in Tate's rock-hard jaw. You've made your point. 2 years ago, she'd been rapidly cartwheeling into love during her brother's pre-wedding festivities. Tate had been playing a game, or so Faith had learned when she arrived at the church to dress with the bride and the other bridesmaids. The women had been laughing about firefighter Tate's reputation for starting sensual fires all over town, and wagering on which wedding guest he'd go home with that night. No one had known Faith had just spent the most passionate night of her life in his bed. In seconds, she'd gone from euphorically believing she'd finally found Mr. Wright to the sinking realization that she'd been just another body to Tate Sumner. Sandy had explained that Tate had wild oats to sow because he'd spent his teens and twenties acting as a father figure to his four younger siblings after their father died. If Faith had doubts about Tate's interest in a long-term relationship, His wedding toast had certainly clarified them. I don't know why any man under 50 would settle for just one woman, but good luck, pal. And, by the way, I'll break your legs if you hurt my sister. You're moving to town. Tate's direct gaze pinned her in place and caused her pulse to quicken. She'd forgotten how good he smelled and how his brawny build made her feel delicate and protected. She hadn't forgotten the strength of his arms as he held her, but not for lack of trying on her part. Nor had she forgotten he was a charmer like her father. Yes, I want to be near David, Sandy, and my soon-to-be-born niece. I've accepted a position as a physician's assistant at the hospital. How about dinner tomorrow night? She nearly choked. Did he think she'd fall back into his bed as easily as she had the first time? Never mind that Tate had the sexiest, greenest eyes she'd ever seen, or strong, capable, and talented hands. She was wise to his seductive ways and had no intention of being sucked in by his charming smile or clever words again. No thanks. I try not to repeat my mistakes. He blinked, briefly covering his eyes with long, thick lashes any woman would envy, but his confident smile never wavered. You're lost, Faith. I remember how hot we were together, even if you don't. She hardened herself against the sexy rumble of his voice and tried to ignore the temptation nipping at her heels. Perhaps your memory is faulty. A wicked grin lifted one corner of his edible mouth and carved a crease in his cheek, a crease she'd traced with her tongue once upon a time. Maybe you're afraid you can't live up to my memories. Her molars clicked together. And maybe you're overestimating your charms and those memories are not worth revisiting. His grin faded. I didn't hear you complaining. In fact, I could swear your screams of pleasure are what made my neighbor hammer on the apartment wall and ask us to keep it down. He didn't realize keeping it down around you was impossible. Fire rushed through Faith's veins. She lifted her chin and pretended that incident hadn't been the most embarrassing and yet hilarious moment of her life. Tate had carried her from the kitchen back to the bedroom where they'd made love with silent laughter. She'd never had so much fun making love before. It's amazing how far a woman will go to bolster a man's ego. If I remember correctly, you needed a little encouragement. Tate's eyes darkened. For crying out loud, we'd made love 3 times in as many hours. Did you expect me to go off like an adolescent each time? And I don't remember you complaining about the extra action. He grabbed her suitcase and marched with it toward the bedroom. Faith fisted her hands and counted to 10. Was she an idiot? Why goad him? Certainly his stamina had put her previous lovers to shame. And yes, she'd loved the fact that Tate had unselfishly delayed his pleasure until she'd found her own. And darn it, why couldn't she forget how good he'd made her feel in bed and out of it? Swallow your pride and keep it friendly, Faith. Sandy worships her brother, and David is the only family you acknowledge. Exclude Tate, and you could be excluded. Tate, wait. She followed him into Sandy and David's bedroom and then wished she hadn't. Standing beside Tate in a bed melted her like candle wax. He'd been an amazing lover. Probably because he'd had so much practice, she reminded herself bitterly. My gift for the baby is in my suitcase. His thick biceps bunched as he effortlessly lifted the case onto the bed, as if it hadn't gone over the airline's weight limit. And then he stepped back to allow her access, but he didn't leave the room. She wished he had as soon as she unzipped and opened the case. Her lingerie lay on top, and her skin burned as she dug through the colorful bras and panties to reach the gift-wrapped package cushioned beneath them. She shoved a pair of pink panties, the ones he'd pulled off her with his teeth that night, to the bottom of the case. "Where's the house you're buying?" he asked. She closed the case before meeting his gaze. Clutching the gift to her chest, she replied, "Rocky Creek." "Nice neighborhood. My district, Station 6. Give me your address and I'll have the platoon look out for you when I'm off duty." Faith shifted her jaw and considered his words. "Are you being nice, or are you just trying to get my address?" "I could get your address from Sandy or David, but I'm asking you. You're family now." Family. Everyone seemed to have their own definition of the word. Faith shoved back her hair and immediately recalled the gentle tangle of Tate's fingers in the strands. "Why can't you just accept that night was a mistake and I'm not interested in a repeat?" "Because when you lie, you get a tiny red patch right here." He traced a blunt finger over the skin at the top of her breastbone just below her locket. Faith's breath hitched and her pulse leapt. Her brother had a big mouth. He must have told Tate about the telltale sign. That spot had been the bane of Faith's childhood. She'd never been able to get away with anything. Tate's warm fingers curled around her nape, choking off coherent thought. He erased the distance between them. Heat radiated off his body, and his woodsy scent enclosed her in a seductive fog. "Are you going to deny you've thought about that night?" "Deny it." But she couldn't form the lie. Her mouth watered and her lips dried. What little resistance she had evaporated as his head lowered. Faith pressed her hands against his chest. His heart pounded beneath her palm, and his warm breath swept her lips a split second before his mouth took hers in a slow, lazy kiss. He sampled her mouth with lips, tongue, and teeth until her knees buckled. One big hand stroked down her spine to cup her bottom and support her weight, forging her to his length. Wow. She'd forgotten his potency and seriously overestimated her willpower. Her skin tingled and her belly tightened. She couldn't find the strength to shove him away and was on the verge of dragging him into David's bed and making a fool out of herself again when her common sense rallied. "Good grief, get a grip. He's just like your father." She yanked free and moved out of reach. "Between playmates, Tate?" Before he could reply, Sandy stumbled into the room looking nauseated. "Sorry, guys. I think I ate too much guacamole. I need to lie down. Tate, can you give Faith a ride to her hotel?" Tate's jaw muscles flexed. His gaze drilled hers. "Be glad to." Chapter 3. "What do you mean you've given up my room?" Faith sounded nearly hysterical. Tate considered diffusing the situation, but he was in the mood to chew nails right now, and he'd probably make matters worse by intervening. How could Faith stubbornly deny the attraction between them? Hell, she'd melted in his arms with one kiss. He hadn't found that potent a chemistry before or since their night together. Not because he hadn't looked.
"I'm sorry, Miss King. It's graduation weekend for both of the local universities, and it's almost midnight. When you didn't arrive by 7 p.m. as expected, we thought you weren't coming, and we released your room."
"Then give me another one.
We're at full occupancy."
Faith made a noise of disgust. "Are you telling me there's no room at the inn?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"Find one," Tate barked. The clerk startled.
"Sir?"
Tate straightened to his full 6 feet, 4 inches, and glared. He didn't use his size to intimidate often, but once in a while it came in handy.
"I'll try. One moment, please."
The clerk picked up the phone and made several calls in rapid succession while Faith paced in front of the marble counter, an action that gave Tate time to admire her legs beneath the just-above-knee-length skirt, and to remember how good they'd felt wrapped around him. 10 minutes later, the clerk nervously cleared his throat.
"Miss King, the only room I can find is at the Streetside Motel."
"I'll take it," Faith insisted.
"No way," Tate replied. "The place is unsafe, Faith. Streetside rents rooms by the hour."
Her eyebrows puckered and then rose. Wide-eyed, she stared at him.
"You mean..."
"Yeah, hookers."
Her cheeks turned rosy. She studied her shoes. "Never mind, I'll borrow David's couch."
"You could always stay at my place. At least you know my bed's comfortable."
He couldn't resist the dig. Not that they'd slept much that night. He wouldn't sleep a wink knowing she was back between his sheets alone. But he'd just begun his 4-day-off rotation. He'd catch up on sleep tomorrow. Her spine stiffened and her straight little nose lifted.
"I don't think so."
"David's couch it is."
He carried her bag back to his pickup truck, helped Faith into the vehicle, and headed back where they'd come from. 5 miles down the road, his cell phone rang.
"Sumner." "Tate, it's David. Sandy's in labor. We're on the way to the hospital. his stomach bottomed out. His baby sister, a mom. Jeez, where had time gone? It seemed like only yesterday Tate had been stuck at home babysitting his sisters and resenting every minute of it, while their mother worked nights and weekends to support them. After high school graduation, he'd immediately gone into firefighter training instead of college as planned. His dad's life insurance payment was running out, and they'd needed the income. Tate had believed life and fun were passing him by, while he juggled the roles of Mr. Mom and man of the house. The building collapse last year had reminded him of what was really important. Family. The sound of Sandy's moan through the phone made Tate feel helpless. As a firefighter paramedic, he was trained to dash in and rescue people. He could even deliver a baby if the situation demanded it, but there were parts of his sister he'd rather not become acquainted with.
I'll relay the news to Faith and then Mom. David, your sister will be staying at my place tonight. The hotel screwed up a reservation.
Faith squeaked indignantly beside him. Tate sent his love to Sandy, finished his conversation with David, and disconnected before turning to Faith.
Sandy's in labor and on the way to the hospital. I don't have a key to their townhouse, do you?
Faith pinched the bridge of her nose and scrunched her eyes closed.
No. Then you're bunking with me unless you have a better idea.
Her shoulders sagged. No, no better idea. But I won't sleep with you. I'll take your couch. His mother and sisters would have his hide if he put a female guest in the den. Too bad Mom now lived in Florida with his aunt, and Faith couldn't use Mom's guest room.
Not a chance. The sofa's mine, if you refuse to share my big old king-size bed.
I do refuse. Besides, you sleep in the middle. Grinning, he pulled his truck into his assigned parking space and killed the engine.
Only with you, Faith.
An expression of disbelief crossed her face. Does that line usually work for you? He deserved her sarcasm. 2 years ago, a good time was all he'd wanted. But bachelorhood wasn't as great as he'd imagined. And whether Faith knew it or not, she was the only woman with whom he'd ever spent an entire night. He usually said his goodbyes before the awkward morning after. He circled the truck and met her beside her door.
It's not a line.
She ignored the helping hand he offered. You have a reputation for starting fires all over Chapel Hill, Tate. Don't try lighting one with me.
Me? I'm a firefighter. I put out fires.
Her lips compressed. Not with women. Understanding clicked into place. His little sister always had yapped too much. What had Sandy told her?
I'm 34 and single. Am I not allowed a personal life?
You might want to warn the women involved that you're only in it for fun and games before you take them back to your black leather and chrome bachelor pad. His heart missed a beat.
Were you wanting more than fun and games that night, Faith?
She snorted. In your dreams, hose jockey. Hose jockey. Slang for the newest recruits.
I'm a captain now.
She waved a hand and shoved back her hair. Whatever. It's late. I'm exhausted. He was anything but tired. Adrenaline raced through his veins. He attributed his restlessness to Sandy's labor and Faith's return.
Let's get you tucked in.
Ignoring her scowl, he hefted her case from the truck bed and led the way to his second-floor apartment. They'd both been a little tipsy from champagne and overheated from some heavy petting in his truck the last time he'd brought her here. She'd been twined around him like a kudzu vine, with her legs circling his waist and her tongue in his ear when he'd carried her from the parking lot straight to his bed. He'd been seconds away from detonation and the hottest sex of his life. Too bad tonight wouldn't be a repeat. But there was always tomorrow. Chapter 4. Faith reluctantly entered Tate's apartment. Everything was uncomfortably familiar to her from their long-ago tryst. The sofa, even the kitchen, held memories of the intense passion they'd shared. Returning to the scene of the crime held no appeal for her. The crime? Tate had stolen Faith's heart 2 years ago, and none of the frantic dating she'd done in the Atlanta single scene had repaired the damage. How could you replace a man who seemed to anticipate your every thought, every need?
But then, according to Sandy's bridesmaids, Tate had more experience with women than a librarian had with books. Anticipating a woman's needs was probably second nature to him. Faith paused in the doorway of his bedroom. Her palms moistened and her blood raced. The kiss at David's hadn't helped the situation. She had to get through this weekend with heart intact and her knees together. "You remember where everything is?" Tate asked from just behind her. His gravelly voice slid down her spine like the drag of a calloused fingertip. She shivered, cursed the warmth puddling in her belly and nodded. "Then help yourself to towels and whatever else you want." She couldn't look at him. Instead, she studied the wide black leather headboard and the black comforter. She'd spent too much time pressed against the first and buried beneath the second. First in person and then later in her dreams. "Please wake me if David calls with news about Sandy and the baby."
"Sure, but it'll probably be hours. There are extra hangers in my closet, and here's an empty drawer if you want to unpack."
The intimacy of the situation made her uncomfortable. She'd never lived with a man. "Do you need to shower while I unpack?"
"That'd be great."
He disappeared into the adjoining bathroom. Faith struggled to block out the sound of running water and the image of his naked body beneath the spray, but her brain insisted on recalling his slick flesh in graphic detail. Her breathing turned shallow. They'd shared his shower that night. She'd been convinced he was Mr. Right. How could she have been so wrong? She shoved her underwear into the drawer. It wasn't like her to tumble into bed with any available male. But she'd been vulnerable before David's wedding. She'd lost her mother 6 months earlier. Her 30th birthday had loomed, and her friends had been marrying and producing children at an alarming rate. David was moving out. Faith had felt alone. The final straw had been her father's insensitive request days before David's wedding. He'd wanted to bring his girlfriend to the ceremony. Faith sank onto the bed and put her head in her hands. She'd known her father was a liar and a cheat since she was 12 years old. Her parents argued often, and after each argument, her father would beg forgiveness and swear not to stray again. Her mother had forgiven him every time, but Faith had seen the pain in her mother's eyes. Had the pain of betrayal weakened her mother to the disease that had taken her life? Faith's head had been reeling when she'd met Tate. He'd seemed so family-centered and devoted to his siblings, the antithesis of Faith's selfish father. Had the shattering of her world made her susceptible to Tate's rugged charm and blinded her to his womanizing ways? A man who belonged on a hunky fireman's calendar probably had women throwing themselves at him regularly, and the blondes vying for his attention tonight at the baby shower proved he liked women, plural, didn't it? The bathroom door opened and Tate exited in a cloud of steam. Water droplets clung to bare chest and broad shoulders and sparkled in his damp hair. The towel knotted at his waist revealed his long, strong legs. Her mouth dried and her blood simmered. She wished the chemistry between them would evaporate along with the bathroom steam. "Faith, you're okay?" He crossed the room and stopped in front of her. She was a fool for wanting a man with so much charisma. Tate, like her father, was movie star handsome. Also like her father, he worked many hours away from home. Could she trust him? Rhetorical question. Tate wasn't looking for forever, just for now. "I'm just tired." "Are you sure?" He knelt beside the bed and cupped a long-fingered hand over her knee. Heat raced upward from the point of contact. Was the concern in his eyes genuine? She didn't trust her judgment, but she seriously wished she could lean her head on his broad, damp shoulder. Had David told him about their father's repeated infidelities? She shook her head and rose, displacing his hand. He stood beside her.
"Call if you need anything. Like someone to scrub your back?"
The teasing glint in his eyes made her stomach flip-flop. Where was her common sense? "Good night, Tate." As soon as he left the room, she rushed through her shower, trying to forget that just minutes before he'd been naked in the glass stall. She turned out the bedroom light and darkness swallowed her. She slid between the sheets and his scent enveloped her. Her pulse pounded. Faith closed her eyes and courted elusive sleep.
Faith. Tate's rough voice nudged her toward consciousness. She smelled coffee. Were they going to make love in the kitchen again? Last time she'd knocked over the canister and spilled coffee grounds all over the counter. She nuzzled deeper into her pillow.
We can't, not again. Your neighbor will hear us.
Faith.
His voice sounded harder, more insistent this time.
Again? Are you insatiable? Go away, Tate.
She mumbled into the down. A hand shook her shoulder.
Faith, wake up. Sandy had the baby.
She jerked awake and rolled over. Sunlight beamed through a gap in the curtains, nearly blinding her. Tate sat on the edge of the bed. She'd been dreaming. Good heavens, what had she said? She snatched the sheet to her chin.
What?
Beard stubble darkened Tate's jaw, and his hair stood on end as if he'd just awakened. He looked delicious. Edible.
Our niece has arrived. Want to go meet her?
Comprehension dawned. Anna's here? His grin was boyishly sweet and oh so sexy.
Yeah, all 8 pounds of her.
Faith bolted up in the bed and hugged him. The scalding heat of his bare chest permeated her thin gown. She gasped and pulled away, but his hands encircling her waist prevented escape. His green eyes darkened and burned into hers. Air lodged in Faith's lungs and refused to circulate. Her heart pounded and warmth suffused her. Why did he affect her this way when no one else ever had? And why couldn't she just accept today as it came, the way her more liberated friends did, without needing the promise of tomorrow's? Because she wanted a family of her own.
Tate.
Shh. His mouth covered hers. He sipped from her lips, nuzzled and nipped until she opened for him, and then the kiss turned ravenous. Hot. Slick. Wet. Determined to push him away, she slid her hands over his supple skin, but somehow her fingers ended up threaded through the short, crisp hair of his nape. Her breasts tightened and pushed shamelessly against his chest. His mouth devoured hers and his hands roamed her back, her waist, and finally he cupped her aching breasts. Faith moaned into his mouth as he plied her flesh. A knot of need formed between her legs. Last night, before drifting off to sleep, she'd created a list of reasons why their affair shouldn't be repeated. At this moment, she couldn't recall a thing. She skimmed her nails down his back and reveled in his shiver and groan. Tate eased her back onto the pillows, following her down. He caught her nipple, gown and all, in his mouth and suckled. One big hand delved beneath the covers, raking up her leg and finding her moist center. He stroked her with unerring accuracy, igniting the embers smoldering inside her until flames of need swept through her. Faith gasped. Her body throbbed. She cradled Tate's bristly face and urged him up for a kiss. Tate lifted his head and kissed her deeply before drawing back.
You know, I'd rather spend the day here with you, but I promised David we'd bring lunch to the hospital within the hour. This afternoon, I'm all yours.
So much for her vow to keep her legs together. Chapter 5. Tate would never understand women. This morning, Faith had been hot and his. This afternoon, the Ice Queen had returned. Deja vu. But her rejection and his resulting confusion didn't stop the persistent throb behind his zipper. In Sandy's hospital room, Tate cradled his tiny niece. The same surge of protectiveness he'd experienced each time his father had placed one of Tate's baby sisters in his arms welled up in him today. His other sisters had married and followed their careers or their husbands across the country. They lived too far away for Tate to be a hands-on uncle if they ever had children. As much as he'd once yearned to cast off the responsibility he felt for his sisters, now that they were gone, he missed having them underfoot and making demands on his time. He missed being needed. One of these days, he'd like to have kids of his own. But first, he had to find a woman who'd have him. A woman who engaged his brain, made him laugh, and set his sheets ablaze. 2 years ago, he hadn't been ready. Now he was. Was Faith that woman? His gaze met hers, and his breath caught at the yearning in her blue eyes. Now that he understood. Faith wanted a baby. From what David had told him about Faith's work with children as a physician's assistant, Tate suspected Faith would be a good mother. He crossed the room and stopped before her. "Want to say goodbye to Anna before we get out of here and let David and Sandy get some sleep?" Faith took the baby from him. Their hands brushed and a jolt of electricity zapped him. She cuddled Anna and cooed nonsense. Something inside Tate shifted, softened. In that instant, he knew he wanted to be the man who fathered Faith's babies. His father's claim that he'd fallen in love with Tate's mother at first sight suddenly seemed plausible. Could love explain this powerful push-pull between Tate and Faith since they'd met? He didn't intend to let the sun set without finding out. He kissed Sandy's cheek and shook his brother-in-law's hand. "Congratulations, Anna's a beauty. You know, I'm only a phone call away if you need anything." David's grip tightened. He leaned closer and spoke in a low voice. "Remember your toast at our wedding? Ditto. I'll break your legs if you hurt my sister." Surprised, Tate rocked back on his heels. He looked from David's scowl to Sandy's smile and thumbs up. Definitely matchmaking. "That's not in my plans." But he did plan to get to the bottom of Faith's deep freeze. He escorted her back to the truck and headed for his apartment. He glanced at the pleat between her brows and the tired shadows beneath her eyes and detoured down the road toward University Lake. "Where are we going?"
"I thought you might enjoy a rowboat ride. Twice a week, weather permitting, I row laps around the lake. This exercise clears the garbage from my head and gives me a chance to think."
The dock was deserted on this overcast day. He parked his truck, rented a boat, and rowed them out into the center of the lake. Out here, Faith couldn't escape his questions.
"You were very good with Anna."
Faith broke the silence. She sat in the bow, facing him.
"Years of practice. Why haven't you married and had kids of your own by now?"
Faith's startled gaze met his.
"I've been busy with my training, and I haven't met the right man yet."
Could he be the right man for Faith? He reconsidered the days leading up to Sandy's wedding. He and Faith had been forced together for most of the events. He'd expected being stuck with her to be a burden. Instead, he'd become addicted to her smiles and her laughter. He'd relished her intelligent, thought-provoking questions. Leaving her each night had grown progressively more difficult, until they'd ended up staying together that last night. The chemistry between them today was as strong as ever. Each touch and glance packed a wallop. Yeah, he was the right man for Faith King. And if fighting dirty was the only way to get her to admit it, then so be it.
"Come here."
Her brows rose.
"Excuse me?"
"Sit here. See how relaxing rowing a boat can be."
He scooted back on the flat seat, making a space for her between his sprawled legs. His movements rocked the boat. She gasped and grasped the sides.
"I don't think..."
"Don't think. Just come here. It's good exercise." "Better than those gym machines you city girls use."
With a distrustful look on her face, she cautiously crawled from her seat to his, turned and scooted into place.
"No funny stuff."
"Wouldn't dream of it."
He sucked a sharp breath as her butt brushed his groin, and the strawberry scent of her shampoo filled his nostrils.
"Grip the oars just above my hands."
She did as he instructed, but her spine remained as rigid as cold steel.
"Now what?"
"Follow my moves. Take over when you think you can handle it. Don't drop the oars or they'll fall out of the oarlocks and into the lake, stranding us out here."
His bare arms and legs bracketed hers as he rowed them along the water's edge. With each stroke, his chest brushed her back, and his blood headed south. When Faith took command of the oars, Tate shifted his hands to her waist. She stiffened.
"Keep rowing, Faith."
"I said no funny business." Her voice quivered.
He massaged alongside her spine with his thumbs. Her telling shiver was all the encouragement he needed. Lowering his head, he nuzzled aside the collar of her knit shirt and pressed a kiss in the curve of her shoulder. She didn't pull away.
"Tate."
"Shh. Row." He ignored her warning, pushed aside her hair, and nibbled her earlobe. her breath hitched. Concentrate on keeping your stroke even, or we'll turn in circles. Don't lose the oars.
No fair, she whispered in a breathless middle-of-the-night voice. Her spine curved into his chest, and her fingers tightened on the wooden oar shafts until her knuckles whitened.
Why are you doing this? Why me?
Because you melt in my arms each time I touch you, and Faith, you have the same effect on me.
She turned her head, and he saw the uncertainty in her eyes. How could she doubt what she did to him, what they did to each other?
He shifted on the narrow seat until her bottom cradled his erection. She gasped, and her eyes widened. Her lips eagerly met his. Conscious of their very public location, Tate kept his hands on her waist when he'd much rather drag his palms over her sleek legs and beneath the hem of her shorts or cup her breasts. Their tongues dueled. She bit his bottom lip. His pulse pounded. Thud. He jerked his head back. They'd hit the shore. An overhanging tree provided a thin veil of privacy, but not enough for what he needed. He deepened the kiss and slid his hands higher until his thumbs teased the underside of her breasts. She leaned into his touch.
Let's go back to my place.
She hesitated, and he expected her to chill him out.
Okay.
You sure?
Faith, if I take you home, I'm not going to be happy until I'm inside you. Faith's eyes closed and her swollen lips parted on a shaky breath. When she lifted her lids, the passion in her blue eyes tempted him to say to hell with waiting until they got home. He wanted her. Here. Now. And damn the consequences. She licked her lips.
I'm sure.
Tate battled the urge to pull her close and grab the oars instead.
Let's go. But do me a favor first. Move back to the bow. If you don't, I have a feeling we might spend the afternoon in jail, and I'd much rather have you in my bed.
Chapter 6. Seeing Tate gently cradle baby Anna in his big hands had filled Faith with a need so strong she couldn't ignore it. In the park just a short time ago, that need had been matched by a physical desire stronger than any she'd ever known. Stronger, even, than it had been during their first meeting. Who was the real Tate Sumner? The man she'd believed to be Mr. Wright had swept her off her feet 2 years ago, pulled her into the crowd of strangers gathered for David and Sandy's wedding, and made her feel right at home. He'd also made Faith feel like the most intelligent and desirable woman on the planet, and he'd made love to her until she couldn't lift her exhausted head off his pillow. She desperately wanted to feel that way again, as if she belonged somewhere and to someone. Did she dare risk it? But what if the real Tate was the charming womanizer Sandy and her bridesmaids had described? He knew how to push female buttons, the meaning of a Ben and Jerry's chunky monkey moment, and he liked to play the field. At the wedding, he danced with every woman under 80 and made wedding toasts about not settling down until he turned 50. He, like her father, wouldn't know the meaning of fidelity. One was the man of her dreams, the other an express train to heartbreak. Would the real Tate Sumner please stand up? Had she completely fooled herself into believing Tate was a family-oriented guy? Could she trust her instincts, or was she blinded by the powerful attraction between them? Could she cautiously proceed with Tate but still guard her heart? How would she know if she didn't take a chance? But she'd witnessed her mother's pain and her father's philandering, and taking that chance scared her spitless. Tate pulled into his parking space and killed the engine. Faith swallowed the lump in her throat. If she was going to play it safe, then now was the time to call a halt to the proceedings. But what if he was the right man, and she let the moment pass? He turned in his seat and examined her face with a gaze so hot and intense she couldn't breathe.
Wow.
He caressed her jaw with one lightly calloused hand, and she shivered. Need pooled in her belly.
Change your mind?
Her conflicting emotions nearly paralyzed her. She wet her lips and gulped down her doubts.
No.
Tate's fingers tangled in her hair. He pulled her into a kiss so passionate her reservations receded farther out of reach. Faith curled her fingers around his thick biceps and leaned into his chest, reveling in the pressure against her sensitized breasts. Tate sat back with a groan. Inside. He tugged her across the bench seat and out his side of the vehicle.
Hand in hand, they hurried into his apartment. As soon as the door closed, Tate pressed her against the wall and kissed her until Faith's knees collapsed. He caught her in his arms and carried her to his bedroom without breaking the kiss, and then set her on her feet beside the bed. Locking his dark green gaze with hers, he reached for the hem of his shirt and yanked the fabric over his head. Faith mirrored his movements, shucking her shirt, shorts, and then shoes. Her heart raced, making her dizzy with desire. This frantic need to get naked was so not like her usual cautious self. She paused, wearing only her bra and panties. Was she strong enough to withstand the pain of loving Tate and losing him? Please don't let this be a mistake, she thought to herself. Tate's gaze burned over her like a flash fire, sweeping her face, her breasts, her legs, and back again. You're more beautiful than I remembered. Faith's breath hitched. She desperately wanted to believe that wasn't a practice line. I'm not beautiful. You should see what I see. The gravelly edge to his voice made her tremble. She visually reacquainted herself with his broad shoulders, narrow waist, and washboard abs. Her gaze followed the dark line of hair bisecting his belly to the long, thick ridge barely contained by his briefs. A palm-sized scar on his upper thigh caused her heart to skip a beat. A burn? Had Tate been injured on the job? Her medical training kicked in. The damaged skin was a shiny pink, not red. Not new, but not old enough to have faded to white. Before she could ask her questions, Tate's arms enfolded her, soldering her to the solid heat of his body. He devoured her mouth with breath-robbing thoroughness, while his hands painted a swath of goosebumps over her skin. Faith skated her palms over his muscular back to cup his buttocks. Tate had an amazing butt. He groaned and then planted a line of open-mouth kisses down her neck. He traced the lace of her bra with his tongue, and then her bra was gone, and Tate had her in his hot mouth. She tangled her fingers in his hair and fought to stay upright as need twisted inside her. Surely something that felt this good couldn't be wrong. His briefs impeded her need to touch him. She shoved the fabric over his hips and then curled her fingers around his hot length. Tate sucked a sharp breath through his teeth, whisked her panties down her legs, and found her wetness with devastating, mind-wrecking results. Within moments, his deft strokes brought her to the edge of release, held her there for several heart-pounding moments, and then pushed her over. Faith collapsed against him, gasping and clinging to his shoulders. Tate pressed a hard, swift kiss on her lips and then put a few inches between them. He reached into the bedside drawer for protection, which he quickly donned, and then he fell back on the bed, pulling her over him like a blanket. Her thighs straddled his hips, and his erection teased her core. She slid against him, teasing him and herself. His splayed fingers cradled her bottom, stilling her motions. "You're killing me, Faith. I need to be inside you," he said through clenched teeth. She'd never had a lover who made her feel as powerful, womanly, or needed. Faith curled her fingers around him and lowered one excruciating inch at a time. His growl drowned out her gasp as he filled her. Tate's grip on her hips tightened, and he surged upward, driving deeper and faster. His hands found her breasts, tweaking her until she felt as taut as an overwhelmed clock. She braced herself against his chest, clutched his shoulders, and held on as pleasure built inside her. Tate tangled his fingers in her hair and tugged her down for an explosive kiss that mimicked his thrusting. His hands shifted to the joining of their bodies. Faith climbed higher and higher with every stroke until she tumbled off the summit in a free fall of rapture. Tate arched off the bed and groaned against her neck as shudders racked him. Her muscles turned fluid, too weak to remain upright. Tate eased her down beside him, tucking her head into his shoulder and kissing her brow. The room fell silent, except for their labored breathing. When they were together like this, she could almost forget her doubts and fears. Could she trust a charmer like Tate to remain faithful? The overhead ceiling fan cooled Faith's sweat-dampened skin, and her pulse returned to normal. Tate's breath slowed and evened out. Had she found her soulmate, or was she just in heat? She could almost hear her best friend ask,
"Is being in heat a bad thing?"
Not if she remembered it was temporary, but Faith didn't want temporary. She wanted a family. She wanted forever. And she wanted both with Tate. The knowledge scared her and left her vulnerable. She didn't want to go through life alone, but loving Tate meant opening herself up to pain, loss, and betrayal. Faith dragged her hand down Tate's chest to the scar on his leg. It was superficial and not at all unsightly, but it was a warning flag, a reminder that even if Tate wasn't a womanizer, she could lose him all the same. The scar was proof that he could be taken from her any time, and love, that fleeting emotion, offered no guarantees of happiness. Did she really want to lose her heart and risk the pain? The weight on her chest told her she already had. Was it too late to repair the damage? Chapter 7. Tate rolled over in bed, empty. He squinted at his alarm clock. He'd slept like the dead for hours. He tossed off the sheet and sat up. Faith? No answer. Where was she? He crawled from the bed, checked the bathroom, the kitchen, and the deck overlooking the pool. No Faith. The same clammy clench he'd felt before entering the building that had fallen in on him squeezed his gut. Intuition? Tate retraced his steps and looked in his closet and drawer. Her stuff was gone. Damn it, this hot and cold thing is getting old. He yanked back the curtains. She must have called a taxi because his truck was in its usual spot. How in the hell had he slept through her leaving? Blame it on too many 24-hour shifts covering end-of-the-year fraternity parties. Tate dug his cell phone out of the pants he'd shed beside his bed and punched speed dial for David's number. As soon as his brother-in-law answered, Tate asked, "Is Faith with you?" "No, she left here with you." "What have you done to my sister, Tate?" He understood David's anger. "Nothing. Except fall in love with her." He massaged the knots forming in the back of his neck. "Call my cell phone if you hear from her. Please. Find her." "I will. Count on it." He disconnected and made another pass through his apartment, this time searching for clues. Where could she have gone? He found the phone book on the kitchen counter open to the S section of the hotel listings and swore. Thanks to all the graduation ceremonies going on this week, the sleazy street side was the only hotel in town with rooms available. Was Faith willing to put herself in danger to get away from him? Tate lifted the phone and called a police officer buddy he'd known since high school. He'd take months of ribbing for his request, but he didn't know what else to do. "Jay, I need a favor. My sister-in-law is taken off. I need to find her. Her name's Faith King. 31, strawberry blonde, blue eyes, medium height. Start with the street-side hotel." "Did she do anything illegal?" Could their encounters be classified as hit and run? His heart sure felt as if it had been run over. "Nothing you'd be interested in." "Want me to bring her in?" "No, just locate her and don't let her leave before I get there. For God's sake, keep her safe if she's in that dump." 30 minutes later, Tate parked his truck beside Jay's cruiser in the hotel parking lot. Jay led him toward the back of the hotel. "She checked in 90 minutes ago. Room 6. "I owe you, man. Pizza and a beer should cover your debt, but I'm going to want details later. You're usually a little smoother with the ladies." Jay motioned Tate away from the hotel's paint-chipped door. "Step aside, Sumner. If you've pissed her off, she's not going to open the door for you, but she'll open it for me." Tate sighed and flattened himself against the wall a few feet away. The fact that he'd made a fool of himself over a woman would be all over Chapel Hill in a matter of hours, but it'd be worth it if he could work this out with Faith. Whatever this was. Was it love? What else could explain the sinking feeling in his gut? Deal. "And don't do anything stupid, or, friend or not, I'll have to run you in." Jay offered the last warning as he lifted his fist and rapped on the door. The door eased open. Tate heard the chain catch. At least she'd had sense enough to use it. "Faith King?" Jay asked. "Yes?" Tate hated the fear in her voice. He'd forgotten Jay's ugly mug could make the Godfather thugs look like beauty contestants. Step outside, Miss King.
Is there a problem, officer?
That's what I want to know. The door closed. The chain scraped and then the door reopened. Faith stepped out onto the cracked sidewalk. Tate's heart slammed against his ribs. She turned her head, spotted him, and her eyes widened.
What's wrong? Are David, Sandy, and Anna okay?
Your family is fine, but Sumner needs to talk to you, Jay indicated Tate. A different kind of tension entered her face.
I don't think we have anything to say.
Tate smothered his anger, his pain. You can't keep running, Faith. Her chin lifted, revealing that telling red spot at the base of her throat.
I'm not running.
Jay's radio squawked. Can you two handle this now? I have a call. Yes, thanks again, Jay, Tate replied.
There's nothing to handle, Faith said simultaneously.
But Jay had already turned toward his cruiser. Seconds later, he hit the siren and peeled out of the lot. What are you afraid of? Tate stepped closer. The quarter-sized spot on her skin glowed like a streetlight.
Nothing.
Tate circled the splotch on her chest with his finger. This says otherwise. She flinched out of reach. Covering her chest with her hand, she backed into her room.
Go away, Tate.
Tate followed, kicking the door shut and sealing them in the seedy hotel room. I rescue people from danger. I don't leave them in harm's way. I'm not leaving you here.
Why can't you accept that we had a one-night stand and let it go?
You should thank me for not asking for more. His heart thumped harder and his mouth dried. Ask. Her lips parted and her eyes widened.
What?
Ask for more, Faith.
I don't want more.
The desire in her eyes and the hunger in her lips when she loved him said otherwise. You're not a no-strings kind of woman.
Says you, and you barely know me.
Tate, we've only known each other a week total. I can accept it if you think we're moving too fast and you need more time, but I won't accept your refusal to give us a chance. He saw the flash of fear in her eyes before she looked away.
I can't.
Go back to your other women and your job. Fear? This was all about fear? He remembered her touching the scar on his leg as he drifted off to sleep. He'd thought Faith up to the challenge of being a firefighter's wife. Evidently, he'd been wrong. I never expected you to be a coward, Faith. Chapter 8
You think I'm a coward?
Faith's skin prickled at the accuracy of Tate's remark. Tate shrugged. If the shoe fits.
I have good reason to be cautious.
He widened his stance and parked his hands on his hips. And that is? Where did she start?
Did David ever tell you about our father?
Only that he was a jerk. Faith winced. He's a pilot with charm and good looks to spare. He has a woman in every layover city. My mother knew about his infidelities and it broke her heart. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to love a man who'll hurt me over and over and not care. His brows dipped and his shoulders squared. You're comparing me to your father? That night before the wedding, I was well on my way to falling in love with you, but you were playing a game. The next day at the church, you flirted with every female present. He made an exasperated sound. Only because you blew me off. Are you denying you'd had a reputation for keeping your affairs short and sweet? Tate shoved a hand through his hair, making his cowlick stand up. No.
And were you expecting more than a brief affair after Sandy and David's wedding?
His jaw muscles bunched.
No.
Faith exhaled slowly and hugged herself.
Well, nothing like hearing your fears confirmed. That's what your sister and her bridesmaids told me. They took bets on which wedding guest would be foolish enough to fall for your charms. I was too ashamed to tell them that I already had.
Remind me to muzzle my sisters. Tate crossed the room, stopping inches away. His woodsy cologne teased Faith's senses, and his serious green gaze held hers. As far back as I can remember, I was the man of the house. I filled in when my dad was on duty, and after his death, my mother and my sisters looked to me to keep things normal. I gave up my dreams of college,
and signed on as a firefighter because we needed the money to put my sisters through college. I resented the hell out of it. I was young, and all I wanted was to party and get laid. Hell, I was 20 before I lost my virginity. Sandy was the last of my sisters to leave home. When Sandy met your brother the year before they married, I thought I'd finally found freedom, and I was determined to make up for lost time. I tried. He shook his head with a rueful smile on his face. God, I tried. Then I met you, and I panicked. You made me want more than just hot sex. You threatened my newfound freedom. When you blew me off after our night together, I was angry and decided to show you that I didn't care. I wanted to make you jealous. And I wanted to make sure you knew what you were missing. I'm sorry. I was an ass at the reception. Yes, you were. But hearing the reasons why gave her a new perspective. He grimaced. You were the right woman for me, Faith, but I was too stupid to recognize it. Give me a chance now to show you how right we are together, and I promise you won't regret it. Her heart missed a beat, but fear held her back. How can I trust you not to hurt me? I need someone who'll love me forever, Tate, not just when it's convenient. There are no guarantees in life. You have to set aside your fears, or they'll paralyze you. That's exactly what had happened. Faith yearned for a family of her own, and yet she never dated a man more than a few times. As soon as she began to grow attached, she broke off the relationship. She'd been envious as her friends married and found happiness, but Faith was afraid to try it for herself. The one time she had, with Tate, she'd been burned. Even if you're not as fickle as my father, any fire call you answer could be your last. Your leg. She motioned to his thigh and bit her lip as fear choked off her words. Any time you get into your car to drive to work could be your last trip. But you won't see me locking you in my apartment. I won't deny my job can be hazardous. I was injured in a building collapse because I ignored my training and entered an unstable situation. I figured I had nothing to lose. Now I do. He brushed a soft kiss over her lips. Faith's breath caught and her resistance ebbed. You make me weak, Tate. I tell myself not to fall for your charm or your lines, and then I do anyway. Do you know my only goal for this weekend was to keep my knees together around you? And I failed. His tender smile tugged at her heartstrings. He lifted a hand and cupped her jaw. That's because your heart knows better than your head. And you're not weak, Faith. The woman I see when we're together is one who knows what she wants and takes it. It's your follow-through that needs work. I'm afraid of being wrong, of being hurt. And she was afraid of being alone. But wasn't she alone now? I run into burning buildings for a living, but nothing scares me as much as losing you. Tate pulled her into his arms and kissed her deeply. Faith clung to his broad shoulders. Hope flickered to life inside her. The unmistakable banging of a headboard on the adjoining wall startled them apart. Moans of passion followed. Tate released her and grabbed her suitcase. Let's get out of here. I'll be damned if I'll propose in this dump. Faith's heart stopped and her mouth fell open. You're going to propose? Tate yanked open the door and paused on the threshold. I guess the only way you'll know for sure is if you find the guts to come with me. The door swung shut behind him. Faith stood in the center of the sleazy room, paralyzed by indecision. She wanted a man who always put family first, a man who made her feel womanly and wise. She needed a man brave enough to fight his own demons and hers. She pressed a hand over her thumping heart. Tate Sumner was that man. He offered the love she dreamed of, and wanted more than anything else in the world, but she had to find the courage to seize it before it was too late. He hadn't said he loved her. Did he? Suddenly Faith had to find out. She picked up her purse and followed him out. She had so much to lose, but so much more to gain. She was ready to put her heart on the line. Tate helped her into his pickup truck without a word. Neither of them spoke as he drove toward the lake and parked in the shade. He climbed from the cab and headed toward a big boulder on the lake's edge. Faith followed and stood beside him on trembling legs as he stood gazing out over the wind-whipped water. My father claimed he fell in love with my mother at first sight. As a kid, I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. Tate said without looking at her, and then he turned his head, and Faith's breath stalled in her lungs at the love in his eyes. He took her hands in his. And then I met you, and I knew exactly what he meant. I love you, Faith, and I promise you that I'll keep on loving you until the day I die. Emotion welled within her, spilling from her eyes in big, fat tears. I love you, too. Marry me. Today. Tomorrow. Whenever you can trust in what I feel for you. A watery smile wobbled on her lips. I trust in your love now. And I think today or tomorrow, or as soon as we can arrange it, would be perfect.
This has been an Audible Inc. and Harlequin production of A Perfect Match by Emily Rose. Read by Cecilia Frontero. Executive Producer, Beth Anderson. Supervising Producer, Arthur Gianzana. Produced and directed by Michelle McGonigal. Chief Engineer, Mike Charzak. Edited by Laura Stradley. Music composed by Michael Whalen. Post-production music mix, George James. Post-production music mix, Sam Rodriguez. Post-production and music supervisor, George James. Copyright 2004 by Emily Rose. Production copyright 2006 by Audible Inc. All rights reserved, including the right of reproduction, in whole or in part, in any form. This edition is published by arrangement with Harlequin Books, S.A. All characters in this book are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
If you enjoyed this story from Silhouette Desire, don't miss our other passionate stories from our Harlequin Blaze and Harlequin Presents series. Choose from a variety of great titles, such as Indecent Suggestion by Elizabeth Beverly and The Italian Suitable Wife by Lucy Monroe, and download today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.